Hi, and welcome to SCL, the Subject, Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name is Rob from robnofphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a fantastic Christmas and are looking forward to the new year. We finally made it, everybody. SCL episode 250. I know I've crammed a few in over the last few days, and I hope you forgive me, but I kind of wanted to get to this halfway to 500 mark, if you like. It kind of fires me up for the year ahead for 2015 to hopefully maybe get SEL back on a weekly schedule. But I don't know. In my job, I work 6 days a week quite often. It just once every 2 weeks kind of fits in with my kind of schedule. With all the chores and all the stuff I've got to do quite well, so I hope you'll bear with me with that. Yeah, so I hope everybody got what they wanted for Christmas. I got the little SJ4000 action cam that I've already been talking about. Well, I got it a little bit before Christmas. And I got something else, a second-hand camera bag, just before Christmas as well, which I'll tell you about in a bit. So I thought it might be quite interesting, I don't know, to share some of my favourite gadgets for the last year. And remember, you can always email me or put comments in over at robnofphoto.com or over on the Flickr group about what your favourite gadgets of 2014. But I would definitely have to start with my Canon 600D or Rebel T3i, as it's called in America, because I got that camera last Christmas 2013, and I don't know, this year I've taken a lot of photographs. I probably haven't taken as many photographs as the year before, but I've used the camera a lot more, mainly because of its capabilities for video as well. The sheer number of videos I've been able to put up over the last year has mainly been due to the 600D T3i. Because it's so easy to use, the files are so good, and even though my YouTube videos have still got a long way to go in terms of quality, in terms of lighting and things like that, overall I think they're much better, and it's kind of encouraged me to record more things, you know, more reviews, tutorials, guides, that sort of stuff. So Canon 600D, that's been very, very good indeed. And to kind of go along with that, I'd have to say that the 40mm 2.8 pancake lens that I got free with it from Amazon has been a favourite gadget of mine as well over the last year, because it kind of made me look at the world in a different way. You know, I mean, I had prime lenses for years, you know, the 50 1.8, the Nifty 50, and various M42 lenses that I use with an adapter on my 350D and then my 600D. But doing the review of the 40mm 2.8 and then doing like a comparison review of the 40 to the 50 and, you know, having to use primes again and seeing that when I've used a prime, the number of keepers I get from a photo walk goes up, you know, the number of photographs I like. Because, I mean, I think it's because having a fixed focal length, especially a longer fixed focal length, like on a 40 or a 50, which on a crop sensor camera makes those lenses telephoto, you know, so they're not wide angle, they're not even standard. You know, a 40 is more like a, you know, a 65, and a 50 is more like a 75 or almost an 80. It means that you can't take as many postcard type shots, you know, where you get everything in. A good example would have been when I was down at the Submarine Museum. If I'd had my wide angle zoom with me, I'd have just set it to 18mm. And then I could have got the whole of the submarine in and the whole of the buildings and all this sort of stuff, nice and easy. And that's the shot I would have probably taken. But because I only had the 40 or the 50 with me, it means that you can't take that shot. Well, you can, but you've got to do a panorama, you know, and who wants to do lots of panoramas all the time? It forces you to look at the scene in front of you and select the most interesting part of it. And then you take that picture. And I think automatically you end up with more interesting photos, because if you think the majority of people who've got SLRs or DSLRs or, you know, mirrorless cameras and stuff, the majority of them are out there shooting with a kit lens, aren't they? And the majority of us, and this includes me as well, when I'm shooting with my kit lens, I tend to be quite wide with it. So if you use a lens that forces you to go telephoto to select bits of the scene instead of just going wide all the time, almost automatically you'll end up with more interesting photos. So yeah, 40mm 2.8, love it. Incredibly quiet lens, makes your camera it makes your camera unobtrusive because it is so small as well. going back to the video stuff, I would think the Zoom H1 audio recorder has made a big difference as well. I mean, you guys and girls are probably the best judges of this. You know, when you listen to the podcast now, does it sound better than it did, you know, over a year ago when I got the Zoom H1, when I used to record it on my headset, my USB headset, or sometimes on my phone? I mean, think back, you know, remember those years ago when I was working for Jessop's and I used to record the podcast on the motorway driving backwards and forwards to London. Gosh, I don't know how. I mean, I listen back to some of those episodes and I think, my God, I suppose everybody just didn't unsubscribe at that point. Now, I know I've still got a long way to go, mainly because I think I need a boom to hold the mic up above my mouth, because, and some people have commented on this as well, and you could probably hear it now, I make lots of noises with my mouth while I'm talking, lots of swallowing noises and gulps and things like that. And because the microphone at this moment is kind of below my mouth and back a bit, you pick all this stuff up. Whereas if it was above me and close a bit, you know, like a DJ would have a mic, you know, a radio DJ would have a mic, then you wouldn't get so much of the gulps and pops and kind of the plosives and that sort of thing. But the Zoom H1 has been very good for the podcast, making that sound better. But also my videos as well, having a separate recorder instead of relying on the audio from the camera makes a massive difference. And it also means that I've been able to use it with a lav mic, the ATR3350 from Audio Technica, and that meant I can record better audio on location as well. And the Zoom H1, you know, is incredibly cheap, less than £100. And I think, you know, if you're into recording videos for YouTube or anything, or podcast, I don't think you can go wrong by trying out a Zoom H1. I mean, it's cheaply made, it's not very tough, you'll probably break it if you drop it, but for getting your foot, a toe into the water of better audio, then, well, listen to this. Does this sound good? If it does, then maybe that's for you as well. My new phone that I got as well, around about this time last year, the HTC One Max, lovely using that this year. Massive screen, 6-inch screen, I've loved the big screen's great for watching content, Netflix, great for reading RSS feeds. Amazing battery life has been one of the biggest differences. Having a phone that actually really lasts from first thing in the morning till last thing at night. Oh, so good, not to worry about charging it up. The video quality is okay, and I've recorded quite a lot of video with it. I've done some stills. I find using a phone for stills difficult, you know, in terms of pressing the screen, and it's not always that pleasing to me. One of the best things about the HTC One Max is the sheer loudness of the speakers. You know, if you're watching a TV program or a film on it, you know, it's really blasts out, so I've enjoyed that. But I'd have to say probably the battery life and the big screen are the two things that kind of really turned me on to HTC One Max. However, my favourite gadget for 2014, the one piece of equipment I've had that's transformed the amount of content that I've been able to create in terms of podcasts and videos, and working on photographs as well, has been my new Acer Aspire E1571 laptop. By no means a bargain buy or a superb performer, because I think when I got it, I didn't do any research at all. I just went into PC World, I think it was, or Currys or something like that, and I had a budget of £400, and this one looked like the best one to £400 because it had the best processor. It's been a solid performer, but it's so much more reliable than my old laptop that used to turn itself off when it got too hot every 10 minutes. It means that I can edit stuff in Lightroom, photos really quickly and easily. Rendering video is a breeze. It's reliable. It does everything I throw at it. You wouldn't want to play games on it because it doesn't have a fast graphics processor, and the screen is distinctly average. But especially since I've added another 4 GB of RAM and installed System Mechanic to kind of keep a handle on the performance, it's been really, really good. Even though it's Windows 8, but I've installed Classic Shell, so it turns it into Windows 7, really. A new laptop has transformed the sheer quantity and hopefully some of the quality of the photographs, videos and podcasts I produced in 2014. Now, gadgets for 2015. You may well remember that camera bags are a bit of a obsession perhaps you could say for me. Recently, I've done reviews of the Think Tank Photo Retrospective 30. I re-looked at the Flipside 400 from LowPro and the Photo Runner from LowPro. But they're still not quite right, you know. I mean, my old Photo Runner bag, shoulder bag, that you could only fit in some batteries, some memory cards, one camera body with a lens on, and a telephoto lens. I love that bag. It was lightweight. I could get the lenses easily. I could change lenses without even having to look at the bag. I could just pull back the zips, undo the Velcro, and I was then. But I want to be able to carry really one of two things, and maybe both things as well, and that's my flash, so my automatic flash, my Yongno 565, so I've got the ability to work in, you know, really low light, and also my SJ4000 action cam, you know, the GoPro copy, so I can record sort of third person views when I'm out and about on photo walks and testing gear out as well. And you know, you just can't fit that in the Photo Runner at all. You'd have to carry everything in your pockets and your coat, which isn't really an option, especially, you know, if it's warm and you can't have your coat on. I thought the Retrospective 30 would be the perfect answer, but in hindsight now, after using it for a few months, I'd say maybe it's slightly too big. You can fit too much in it, and I'm too likely to overload it. And that's not the bag's fault, you know, I just put less in it. But, you know, when you're carrying around a bigger bag with less in it, you think, well, I'm carrying around some dead weight, aren't I? However, recently, just before Christmas, a couple of days before Christmas, I got incredibly lucky on Gumtree, which is the UK's version of Craigslist, I guess, like second-hand stuff that aren't on auctions. And I managed to pick up a second-hand Billingham 225 bag for the absolutely amazing price of £30. Now, you may have heard of the name Billingham. These are handmade canvas and leather bags, handmade in England. They go for crazy prices. A new Billingham 225 bag from Billingham's website goes for about £250 plus VAT. So for £30, this may be one of the best bargains I've ever got, second-hand bargains. I mean, the bag's probably 10, 15 years old, but it's in really good condition. Smell a bit musty, but give it a clean and it's okay. And it's a shoulder-type bag. And it's about 12 inches long and 7 inches wide, which means that it's quite a bit smaller than the Retro 30, but significantly bigger than the Photo Runner, which means I can fit my camera body with a lens in, and the telephoto zoom, the flash, and I can just about squeeze the SJ4000 and the GorillaPod in it as well. But it is incredibly light. So I'm really looking forward to in 2015, hoping, fingers crossed, that I've got, you know, the perfect camera bag. And I've kind of settled into the idea of the fact that if I want to go out for long photo walks or I'm covering a bit of ground, I do just basically have to stick to the camera with a lens, the telephoto zoom, and then another accessory of my choice, whether that be a flash or the SJ4000 or maybe a couple of spare lenses. Any more than that, and it's just too heavy for my shoulder, and then I'd have to move on to something like the Retro 30 or, you know, a backpack. But look forward on YouTube for seeing comparison reviews between the Billingham 225 and the respective 30, and a standalone review as well. And kind of to go along with the reviews, I think look out for lots of stuff about the SJ4000, the little GoPro copy that I picked up for about £70 just before Christmas again. And I'm really looking forward to using this, again, just to make the videos I make for YouTube a little bit more interesting, you know, where you can actually see, instead of just seeing me talk to the camera when I use my phone, you'll be able to see me walking along, third person, you know, and doing interesting angles. You know, I'm not an extreme sporter. You're not going to see me skiing down a piste with the SJ4000 stuck to my head, but you will see, hopefully, more interesting angles on my YouTube videos. And looking forward to it for using it to make time lapses, actually, because it's very good for that. And today I've actually just been out and done a kind of a field trial of the Billingham 225, and it'd be interesting to see the combination of the SJ4000 action cam with the Zoom H1 and the lav mic recording video that way, syncing up and seeing seeing what we can get out of it. So there we go. They're the gadgets I'm looking forward to playing with. But who knows what other gadgets I might be able to get hold of over the next year. I'm going to keep pestering lots of suppliers to send me stuff to review so I can talk about it. Especially lenses. I think it's time to review I want to review one of those super zoom lenses. You know, the ones that go from 18mm to 270mm, like, I think is it Tamron or Sigma make them? And also some professional lenses as well, you know, like your typical 28-72.8 or your 70-200-2.8. Again, it would probably be the Tamron or Sigma versions, but you know, I might track down, see how much is the higher, like a Canon 70-200-2.8, and just really to see the comparison in terms of quality, because I've got some ideas about that as well. Other plans for 2015, obviously photography and taking photographs is my biggest aim, getting better at taking photos. Over the next couple of weeks I'm going to plan all my photo projects for 2015. I've already got a massive list of videos that I want to have a crack at for YouTube, because I want to increase the viewership of the YouTube channel and the number of subscribers to the podcast as well. And hopefully I can make the quality a little bit better and the quantity as well. In terms of technical skills, I want to learn to dodge and burn a little bit better, especially in Lightroom. And I guess physically the biggest thing for me is I want to lose weight. I've kind of started trying to lose weight in 2014, doing some exercises, but it's kind of gone by the last couple of months. So come next week, as soon as 2015 comes, I'm going to be back doing my jumping around in the dining room, doing my exercise and controlling what I eat, so I can get down to a 34-inch waist trouser rather than my current tight 38. So this is it. That was the 250th podcast episode, and recently I've just uploaded my 500th video to YouTube as well. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody for downloading and listening to the podcast. It really means a lot to me that everybody tunes in every couple of weeks and listens to me waffling on about photography and what I've been up to. I hope they've been at least a little bit interesting. But I couldn't do it without the questions I get, the emails, the comments, the participation in the Flickr group. And I've got to say that doing this podcast has been one of the most fulfilling things I think I've done in my life. And, I've been doing it for a long time and you guys have been listening to it for a long time as well. So once again, thank you very, very much. And here's to the next 250 episodes. So that's it from me. Remember, you can email me scalespeed@gmail.com. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.